Right now, we turned our attention to Paul Suhr in basketball, Alberta, and Paul, a big time for all the provincial basketball teams. Maybe talk a little bit about how our provincial Alberta provincial teams did when they went out to the tournament. It was out east somewhere, I believe, wasn't it?
We had the way that Canada basketball runs the national championships, Jason, is they have the men or the boys in one location, girls in another. So the girls were in Victoria, and the guys were out in Fredericton.
Okay.
And so the guys, we had a sixth-place finish with our seven U-17s. Pretty disappointed in that. We felt we had more ability, but a lot of dynamics in that age group that, that you know, we could touch on if you want to. Jason, our U-15s won bronze, which was a great accomplishment. Eddie Richardson, coach of the Genesis Basketball Club from Calgary, did a real nice job. He and his staff did a real nice job with the U-15. So happy to see that. Our U-15 girls, they finished fifth, but it's deceiving because of the way the pools are structured. There's a power pool based on last year's finishes, okay, and they were in the weaker pool. They went 5-1, but they finished fifth just because of the way the draw went. Mm-hmm. Played really well. Robin Fleckenstein, who is the now former coach of the Augustana Vikings women's program, is now the head coach at Mount Royal University down in Calgary, did a wonderful job. And then Dave Wacknuck in his eighth season. Can you imagine that, Jason? 8 years in a row, Dave has coached in our provincial team program. Jeez. And he's the head coach of the University of Lethbridge women's program. And they finished second with silver. And that's without Yvonne Edgem, who is Gonzaga bound, who injured her Achilles, which you just hate to see in someone 16 years old.
Geez.
With a partial tear in her Achilles, we understand. But they finished with silver. So great showing by our provincial teams. And right now our U-16 teams are at the Western Canada Summer Games competing.
That's amazing. So overall, a positive weekend or run for the guys and the girls at the U's tournaments, U-16 or U-17, U-15. On the male side, you touched a little bit that the U-17 team was disappointed them in their fifth place finish.
Sixth, they finished sixth, and they got, you know, seeing them in the tournament the way they did in a blowout loss to Manitoba isn't what you hope to see. But I think what's interesting about this tournament, and it was eye opening from some of the coaches that we had in our program, that when they go to a tournament like this, they're used to going to club tournaments and AAU tournaments. And one of the things that I think people have to understand, if you're looking at competition for kids, is playing a ton of games means that it's once you're done with the game, win or lose, you're on to the next game. There's no real big consequences. You can't go scout your opponent too closely, make a lot of adjustments, really tighten your game plan up. You're going from game to game, and you're carrying forward your habits and the way you do things game in and game out. You go to the national championships, you got one game that day, and that team is going to have scouted you, and they're going to have high-level coaches that are going to know your tendencies. So if you have good players on your team who do certain things well, they're going to try to take that away from you.
Yeah.
I think what the kids in the U-17 situation, they didn't seem to respond to that. They didn't seem to respond to that challenge. And so we're going through an evaluation process with the program, but I think it's something you and I have touched on in many of our conversations. It's how kids learn to play. And A, you have to have fundamentals, but B, you have to have the IQ in your sport, and C, overuse and overplaying, reinforcing existing habits may not be the best way to do things and just play a lot of games. There, you know, we were talking about your hockey clinics and what you're working on with kids right now. You're spending time on the ice with kids, helping them develop and reinforce their fundamentals. Our kids have to do that, not just in a structured situation either, on their own. And what we see as our guys in particular get older is they're just not showing up ready to compete at that level. But it's a good experience for them because when they go to the university level, whether that's ACAC, youth sports, or down to the States, if they're fortunate enough, you're going to learn how to compete real quickly or else you're going to be left behind.
That's an interesting discussion because let's face it, games are fun. As a player, you want to play the games.
That's a lot of fun.
And I think at times, as parents, we also think, oh, the kids are having fun, so let's just play games. But we're actually doing them a disservice because you touch on the fundamentals, and I think that fundamentals are worked on from day one of a sport till the day that you're done your professional or university, whatever it is, because you can still make them better. Like you've talked about before, you watched LeBron and D Wade practice one time, and they did the same drills, maybe simpler drills than what you were conducting with your kids, because they're just reinforcing those good habits and doing very basic things very well.
One of the things you hear about from a lot of NBA players is that the work that they do in the off season is not on fancy drills. It's not on crossover, and all of this crazy stuff that people work on. The big problems with that are, A, you never do that in a game situation.
Yeah.
Number two, even if you do it, you're usually then not a good teammate because you're over-dribbling and you're trying to do too much. And number three, you got what's basketball all about? Making shots. You got one thing that is really lacking overall in our province. Both genders, more on the guy's side than the girls, but and again, this is a pretty blunt statement. We don't shoot the ball well. Mm-hmm. We don't shoot the ball well enough at all. We are not developing good shooters. And I mean guys that when you catch the ball and you shoot it, you're surprised if they miss.
Yeah.
Right now, when I watch most kids shoot, I'm surprised if they make it, if it's an outside shot, because technically they're not that good.
Right.
They don't know how to catch and shoot. And I know coaches in clubs, and there's a full range. There's some really good coaches doing a lot of good things. But I do know this, they're not spending enough time teaching kids fundamentally how to catch and shoot, one dribble pull-up shot, certain shots that you're going to actually get in a game situation. They're spending time on a lot of other stuff that, again, like you said, it's fun. Go into a club tournament, you play 10 games in a weekend. That's a lot of fun. You remember game after you've just finished game 10? Do you remember game two?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, I think they're doing them a disservice, too. I think it's more practices, fewer games, more focus on fundamentals. And as we saw with Yvonne Edgem getting injured, it was a stark reminder once again of overuse injuries, of kids playing too much of one sport, blended in maybe with other sports at too young an age, and getting these overuse injuries because I think you don't have to train 12 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. And we've talked oftentimes about multi-sport. Play other sports. Mm-hmm. Do other things. There's nothing saying you've got to be in the gym 12 months out of the year. There's that fear factor that's been created, I think, in parents as well as in kids. So you got an 11-year-old who's playing 12 months of the year? Shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Paul Sir, this is Inside the Paint, talking all things basketball-related. Love getting your text at 10-12-60. Keep those coming in. After a tournament like this, where the results are generally positive, but, there's always room for improvement. And I think that, there's always that part of Alberta. I think we want to be the best at whatever we do. So is there a sit down and a breakdown with the coaching staff and the managers of the team say, okay, this is what went well. This is how we can improve moving forward to next year?
There is. Like, we look for the coaches to give us a summary of their experience this summer, what they thought went well, what they thought they could do better, and what they thought we at Alberta Basketball can do better as well. And that's a big part of it, is from an organizing body standpoint, laying out clear, defined expectations. I don't think we did our job this year. I think sometimes we focus too much on the operational side of an experience and not enough on really shoring up what the expectations are from a technical side. And you have to bring the right people in for that. We have highly qualified coaches. We had wonderful coaching staffs. I mean, really good people who gave up a lot of time for very little in terms of compensation. They probably got about $1 an hour for what they did.
Sure.
But yes, we have a lot to work on. And, I'm really happy with the ongoing progress of our women's program. Like, we've really, I think if I could say as a province, things are really trending in the right direction. And in the guys' side, it's getting better. We just need to get better and better. I think on the guys' side, it's a pretty complicated issue because there's not just the basketball. There's also the social and what I would call cultural element to the sport of basketball that I think a lot of times kids, coaches, and families get caught up in too much, and they lose sight of the fact, and you know this from hockey, Jason, It's what you do on the ice.
Yeah.
It's right. What you do consistently on the ice that tells the story, not what gear you're wearing, not all the stuff that goes around it. And basketball is really prone to a lot of high drama, social media stuff, and influences like that.
Before we get to break, I want to get to our an update on the 3x3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with the guys.
Yeah.
At Bucharest, Team Edmonton was out there. How did Steve Sir and the boys do?
They did well. They finished second in a great field. I mean, it was
a good one.
Yeah, it was a good field. Top teams from around the world. So the guys got to the final game and played New York Harlem. They lost to them in the first game of the series. They lost to them in the championship round. Nobody in the world is playing better than that team right now. They shot for the weekend. Typically, the typical percentage for two-point shooting in 3x3 is about 20%, 20 to 25%. They shot 50%. They hit everything, and they played great. So, Edmonton lost, but great step forward. They qualified for the next high-level event. They accomplished their goals, really had a good showing. Then, of course, the women.
Yeah.
That's another story. They finished first, lost in pool play to Russia, 22-11, almost reversed that score in the championship game against the same Russian team, the Plouffe sisters.
Yeah.
They're the best, in my opinion, they're the best two players in women's 3x3 on the world tour and in the world. They're phenomenal, and their supporting cast are incredible as well. So that's five events, a 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and 2 championships in 5 events. Not a bad start.
So they're trending in the right direction for
sure. Oh, yeah. Both teams are trending in the right direction. Yeah. Team Edmonton, men's and women's, are representing Canada really, really well.
And so, you know, there's a lot of place to look up online. Even on Twitter. Like Steve Sir, he has it at SteveSir1, I believe is his Twitter. And he puts a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of great coverage. I kind of went down that yesterday, or this morning, I should say, and I it's amazing how good the coverage is. They really show a lot, and the game is fast. And we have the big event coming up September 27th, I believe, right?
We do, and we have another announcement that's going to come out shortly.
Okay.
That is going to add even more value and excitement to 3x3 in Edmonton, but I'm sworn to secrecy for the moment.
Jason Greger's putting a team in. Is that what you're saying into the 3-on-3?
We're really looking forward to Jason and what he's going to be fielding this year.
On 8-foot hoops.